It's a humbling experience to do what I'm doing this morning. And I think we'll know why when we have concluded the message and we have a couple of special music to end our service with. The one most importantly to you will be the bellfire singing Blessed Savior, or wonderful Savior, isn't that what it is? Beautiful Savior. Okay. When the call came about a month ago that they would be away, and they asked if I would be willing to bring the message on this particular day. And without hesitation, I said yes. And I think of what some of us are going to hear this morning, you will understand why I said that. First of all, there's kind of a mistake there. Who do you say? It's purposely not giving you an answer. Because we are faced with questions day in, day out. And sometimes we have answers, and sometimes we don't. And there are times when we do not know what to say. So the message is based primarily on the first scripture that you heard about Matthew, where Jesus asks his disciples, who have been the Savior I am? And we have that same question to answer. You see, God has given me a heart for his people. And that's you, and that's me. We are his people. And so there will be an opportunity in our own heart and mind to answer this question, who do you say? We need to realize the King is coming. Now, I'm not referencing the end times as doomsday, and that sort of thing. But we do need to recognize that our scriptures tell us that the King is coming. And there will come a time when the rapture will come, and we who are in the Lord will be taken up to meet the saints in the heavenly places. That's a given. It's something that we can't and should not ignore, because it will be a question as to whether or not we are ready for that rapture. For following the rapture, then, will be the time of tribulation, a period of 7 years when God will allow his wrath to be visible on the face of the earth. And even those who have been toying with the Word of God, now caught up in this tribulation time, they will still be struggling with a decision about whom to honor. And so, about halfway through that period of time, you will have an opportunity to again respond to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the last half of the tribulation, there will be no opportunity. The end will be the end. And if you have been faithful to your Lord, you will be with him. But if you have not been faithful to your Lord, you know the alternative. It will be for heaven. That's drastic. And that's something that we really don't want to face. Now, there are many times when we are caught up in distractions of the world, one of which, and I'm sure a lot of you seen these, is reality shows. Well, I hope you realize that a reality show, no matter what the subject might be, essentially is fiction. It's not true. The real reality is our life. That's the real reality. That's when we will come to share with Jesus. We will choose to live the gifts of the Holy Spirit and enjoy this time between now and whenever the rapture appears. Not to be wallowing in misery or thinking God is not with us. We have that promise that we can live in love and peace and joy, and we can be forbearing of one another and of our situations. Let us pause just for a moment and ask the Spirit to be with us. Again, Father God, we give you praise and thanks for your love unto us, for the opportunity to be together as a family of God, to hear your word and be blessed. So let the anointing of the Holy Spirit fall upon us, and we'll be covered. Give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we're not going to look at the texts immediately. I'll just remind you what they are. Maybe you want to open your Bible to look. Matthew 16, 13, 18, and Romans 12, 1, 2. But let me share this particular word with you, which I think is very important. It's Jeremiah 29, 11, and 12. 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Today, my presence, your presence, is part of that plan. You didn't just decide to be here. You knew that you wanted to worship God. And you thought you were here. And you are me here as well. Verse 12 says, if we call upon him, he will hear us, but he will listen as he hears us. So, who do you say, Jesus asked, I am? There's a book that was written, it's a book of devotions, written by our former president, Jimmy Carter. It was written back in 1997, and in that book, it's entitled Sources of Strength. And we know what devotion does for us. It gives us strength, and it's a source that we connect with our Lord. But what was interesting about that was the very first article in the book, Jimmy Carter was talking with Jay Leno on the Tonight Show out in Los Angeles. And they, interestingly enough, were talking about the Bible. And Jay Leno had responsibly gone out on the streets of Los Angeles to ask people about the Bible. And that's, it's interesting some of the responses he got. And I'm going to share some of those with you. They may be funny, but they're also very pathetic. Somebody was asked about, what's the first commandment? And they answered, freedom of speech. And then another was asked, well, where did Eve come from? Oh, Eve was created out of those apple. And then another one where they talked about Noah's Ark, and interestingly enough, you did not hear Ararat, the mountain of Ararat, where the ark finally settled and was discovered years later. What we heard was that the ark landed on Mount Everest. And then there was a case of where Noah, who was Noah's wife, what she was doing with the ark. That's reasonable to come and after all the ark. Joan of Arc. Why not? Sure, of course. And then there was the seventh commandment. The question was, what is the seventh commandment? And you know that it is, do not commit adultery. But they said, do not admit to adultery. And then there's one other here that I think really needs to be explained. And that's somebody was asking, what are the epistles? Well, you know what the epistles are. They're all the letters that are in our Bible. But what they said, they were the wives of the disciples. Now, like I said, funny, but certainly pathetic. One person was asked, when did you read the Bible? Well, I had a college course that I wanted to read, and so I read the Bible. But I know a book that many of us look at from time to time. It's an owner's manual. And why do we look at the owner's manual? Regardless of what, whether it's a car, or a machine, washing machine, a dryer, whatever, we look at that book to figure out what's wrong. When in fact, we could go to the Bible and from there figure out what is wrong. So there are books, books for every purpose. Sadly, the Word of God is less likely to be the first place that people would turn to. Today is my testimony. And why do I say it's my testimony? I came to know the Lord at the age of 14 in the Brethren Methodist Episcopal Church in Detroit. My call to the ministry came at the age of 30. I had intended to be an electrical engineer, obviously, never got there. And for 60 plus years, I had the privilege of sharing God's Word with His people, with His children, and now I share it with you. So I believe that my testimony will support a message that needs to be heard today. You see, Jesus will change lives. There are persons in this room that have been changed by Jesus. There may be others in this room that need to be changed by Jesus. But why am I saying that Jesus is the change agent? Well, in Jeremiah 31:31, it says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Jacob." Why a new covenant? Well, in Hebrews 8:7 is the answer. If the first covenant had been faultless, there would not have been a need for another covenant. And we all recognize who is the other covenant. It was God's purpose to send Jesus. deliver. And He is that new covenant. But you know, God is willing to make a covenant with you as well. You see, we can reason then that God is willing to change the plan. Sometimes we get settled in on the fact that what was intended for our life at the point of birth will never change. That's not true. There's opportunity for change all along the way. Why? Because He sent His Son. So part of my testimony involves a vision. At my 90th birthday, I had a vision of the Lord that He was going to grant to me 9 more years. I've used 3 of those now, I'm 93. And I'm convinced that He will be truthful and honest and will help me live up the balance of that vision. Again, God's little plan that He was willing to change for me. And so He grants this to me. He has extended the plan. And so the beginning of my life is affirmed in Psalm 139. It's a Psalm of David. And you can have your Bibles if you want to look at 139. I think it's important to hear part of that. First of all, the first 6 verses of the Psalm is this. The first verse of that Psalm is this. You have searched me and known me. He searches you and He knows who you are. He knows when you sit. He knows when you rise up. He knows when what your thoughts are. He discerns our thoughts. He knows our path because He's guiding us along that path. And He is acquainted with all our ways. And even before a word is on our tongue, He knows it. Even the words that we are hearing right now are His words. He helped me put them on paper. But they're His words. And the other thing we need to realize is, and this is in verse 6 of Psalm 139, such knowledge is too wonderful for us. But the question is, how will we answer who He is? That's the question. So, whither shall we go, says the Scripture? From the Spirit or to the Spirit? Then moving into the Psalm 139 a little further, 13:16, I believe to be a record of my birth. When the time will come, I will be face to face with God. I believe, and I think you can focus on this, I was with God before I was in the womb of my mother. And well in the womb of my mother, secretly, He put me together. And in that secret place, He planned days and years that were yet to be for me. And those same plans were for you as well. So at the appointed time, I was born. Thus, at the appointed time, I will return to my God. And it's the same for you. There was an appointed time when you were born. There is an appointed time when you will return to the Lord. And like I said, He's willing to change the plan. You see, He came to die for our sins, and by His grace, we are saved from our sins. We're all familiar with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but be saved and have eternal life. That's a promise to all of us. But in order to receive that promise, we have to believe. And what does believe do for us? Believe establishes for us a faith in God, the Savior. In John, or in Acts, for instance, 16:31, we find Paul and Silas in prison. And there was a great earthquake, and it shook the jail. It broke open the gates, but everybody stayed put. And the jailer, when he woke up to realize they were probably escaping, but Paul shouted, "No, don't take a sword to yourself. We are all here." And Psalm 16:31 says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." So we have a responsibility to include the household, because the jailer took Paul and Silas to his house, and the household was saved. In Ephesians 2:8, we read, "By grace you have been saved through faith." Faith is the key word. You must have faith if you are going to be saved. It is the gift of God. So, Jesus was with His disciples, and He said that He would know the way. He had just finished saying to the disciples, "I must go away, but when I return, I will take you unto myself, so that you are with me, that you might be with me where I am." You know the way. And Thomas said, "We don't know the way. How do we know the way?" Well, Jesus said this to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me," meaning Jesus. You see, you and I are called. But the question is, how do we choose? What message then do you take, do I take, from even my own testimony? You see, Jesus is the oil of God flowing down over us with the anointing power of the Holy Spirit. And if you have the faith, that anointing is yours. But you can't afford it. You've got to share it. So, what might be your testimony in light of what you've heard so far? What is my testimony and destiny? Ultimately, we know the destiny. It's either heaven or hell. There's no in between. It's like yes or no. Heaven is yes. Hell hopefully is no. So the choice we make while living in the womb of heaven will determine where we will spend eternity. This is the womb of heaven. We were born out of the womb of our mothers. But now we are in the womb of heaven. We were in preparation for life and mom. We're now in preparation for life eternal with our Lord and our Savior. So there is that question that you need to be focusing on. Now let's look at the text. Matthew 16:13. Jesus has entered a new territory. It's not as if Jesus has just come on the scene. He's been in the region. People have heard him. They have seen him bring the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and the leper to be cleansed. People have seen all of that. And now Jesus has entered in such a territory with his disciples. I think he's looking for a vote of confidence. Do you ever want a vote of confidence on what you're doing? I think we all want that. So this was Jesus' question to his disciples. Who do men say that the Son of Man is? And of course they came up with John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or maybe the prophets. But then Jesus got into their face, so to speak. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say? Peter. Right? Well, it's Peter. He was quick to answer. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon of Barjona, for not flesh nor blood has revealed that to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Our Father is in heaven. He is the one that reveals to us day in, day out whether or not we acknowledge him or not. So my friends, Jesus asks that question of us. How do we answer? Who do you say the great I am is? Is he the Lord of your life? If he isn't, you need to make him the Lord of your life. Consider your relationship with the Savior. Is it intimate? Or is it sporadic? You just call on him periodically, or you have a daily conversation with the Lord? Intimate or sporadic? Is it a daily devotion or a Sunday worship? Every one of us can answer sometimes it's only a Sunday worship. There isn't time. I get up in the morning, I got up late, I need to be at work, I don't have time to touch base with God. But we should. You see, oftentimes the only time we touch base with God when all else fails. You know, there's that saying, when all else fails, follow the direction. So when all else fails, go to the Lord, seeking first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. The apostasy in the world, the apostasy, understand it, the apostasy in the world is rampant today. We live in a fallen world. And it's not to be negative, but it's not going to get any better. That's all the more reason why we need to be more in touch with our Lord than what we are. So, how do you enter the call when the Lord seeks you? You see, once you hear this word, you are to act upon it, not ignore it. So when you leave this room today and go forth into the world of others, take the word with you, act upon it, share it with people. You see, Jesus is still asking the question, who do you say that I am? There is a response. And it is this. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, by the mercies, notice mercies is not one, it's plural. There are many mercies. By the mercies of God, present your body as a living sacrifice. Now that doesn't mean that you're going to hurt your body in any way, but you are going to embrace the Word of God. Wholeheartedly, intimately, in worship, not waiting until it's a desperate need. Be not conformed, it says, to this world, but be transformed. You see, we have to be in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. So I conclude the message, Joyce will accompany me on the song, The King is Coming, and you will be blessed and yourself by a beautiful Savior.
Thank you. Amen.